We'll now turn to our scripture reading for this afternoon. You'll find it in Paul's epistle to the Ephesians and the opening chapter. Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 1 through to the end of verse 14. Let us hear God's own holy, infallible, inerrant word. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Amen. May God bless that reading of his own word. O congregation, if you turn once again in your Bibles to the chapter that we read earlier, Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Our focus this afternoon will be in the words you find in verse 7 and the opening part of verse 8. And so we'll read those words just now. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, where Paul says, in whom, that is Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us. O congregation, brothers and sisters, I want to take as our theme this afternoon, redemption in Jesus Christ. What a glorious theme this is. And yet the danger can be that because we're so familiar with it, and we hear so much about this theme, that it can fail to move us and grip us as it ought. So often the wonder of redemption and what it actually entails, it can simply be lost on us. But my hope and prayer is that this afternoon we would be appropriately moved as we do reflect on the redemption that Jesus Christ purchased for his people. And so as we look at this theme of redemption in Jesus Christ, then I want to look in the first place at its requirement, what it required to secure it. Then secondly, we'll focus on its results. What is it that redemption results in for the believer? And then lastly, we'll see its reason. What is the reason or basis of this redemption? Well, firstly then, its requirement. Now you'll notice if you look at the context that the Apostle Paul begins this letter to the Ephesians in the verses that we read earlier. And he begins by blessing God for all of the spiritual blessings which he freely gives to his people in Jesus Christ. And so if you look at verses 3-6, you'll see that he blesses God the Father for what he has done in eternity past in choosing a people in Christ for redemption. And then in verses 7-12, you'll see he magnifies the work of the Son in accomplishing that redemption. And then in verses 13-14, he glories in the work of the Holy Spirit in actually applying redemption. But I want to focus, as I said, on the words of verse 7 this afternoon, where Paul begins to unfold the wonder of the redemption that we have in Jesus Christ. And so he says, in whom, that is Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And that's what we need to understand in the first place then, that we cannot find or enjoy redemption anywhere else except in and because of the person and work of Jesus Christ. And my friend, if there's one thing that you and I need above everything else in life, it is redemption. Because you see, redemption means that Jesus Christ has paid the price to free us from the penalty and power of sin by his sacrificial death on the cross. The word that is used here for redemption, it means release from captivity or deliverance as a result of the payment of a ransom. And of course, it was a word that was very familiar to people in the first century because it was used in reference to a slave being purchased and then set free. And the one releasing the slave, they would give to them a certificate which stated that they had been redeemed and released from their slavery. And that document was proof then to that slave that even though they had formerly been a slave, they were now completely free. And that's what redemption means here then. It's speaking to you and me about release from a state of bondage by the payment of a price. And that means then we should see from this word that it implies a previous condition of slavery or bondage from which a person could not free themselves. And that's exactly how it is for every one of us by nature. Whether we like to admit it or not, we are in a condition of bondage to sin. And the only way that we can ever hope to be freed from it is through a payment. That's what the Bible is designed to teach us from beginning to end. And you and I may receive redemption free of charge as a free gift from God. And let us never forget that it came at an extreme price. For as our text says, we have redemption how? Through his blood. And you see, for any one of us to be saved, Jesus Christ had to be willing to give up his life as a bloody sacrifice for sin. Because you see, we need to understand that the price of redemption, it's not just that Jesus Christ got a cut on his little finger or one of his fingers and shed a little blood. No. The reference to blood here and throughout the Bible, it speaks about the giving of life. And Jesus Christ had to be willing to pour out his life so that you and I could be set free from our bondage to sin. And that meant, my dear friend, he had to become a substitute for sinners. He had to die in the place of sinners so that they could be redeemed and brought back to God. And we need to understand that if Jesus Christ had not made such a sacrifice then, you and I would still be without hope, any hope, whatever, of redemption. We would be condemned to death forever because of our bondage to sin. But you see, that is what is so glorious about this redemption. That the price to release us from our bondage to sin and its consequences, it has now been paid in full. Because Jesus Christ gave His life once and for all at Calvary. But more than that, it has been accepted by the Father. And all that you and I need then to enjoy this spiritual blessing is to now receive it by faith. To believe that God is well pleased with what Jesus Christ has done. That it is more than sufficient to merit our freedom. And that's how we come to be in Christ. That's how we come to enjoy this redemption. Through simple faith. Simple childlike faith in what Jesus Christ has already accomplished. And child of God, hear. You know that. The hour you came to Jesus Christ by faith, you didn't have to bring a payment in your hand. All you brought was the empty hand of faith. But did God turn you away? No! And that's how it will always be. And my dear friend, we only insult God when we think that we have to add something to the work of Christ, as though it wasn't sufficient to satisfy Him and merit our freedom. And you and I may have been lost to God because of our relationship to Adam. But my friend, redemption means that if we are in Christ, we are reclaimed and we are brought back to God by a simple faith relationship to Jesus Christ and what He has done. You see, the word redemption here, it doesn't simply speak about being released after the payment of a purchase price. It does speak about that. But it also means that a new relationship has been secured forever because of that payment. Remember what we said earlier. We said that a slave in the first century, they received a certificate stating that they had been redeemed and released from their slavery. And that document was proof that though they had been formerly a slave, they were now completely free. Well, so it is for you, dear believer. God has given you the certificate of your freedom from sin in His own word. That in Jesus Christ, you have redemption through His blood. And that means it's your present possession now. And it always will be your possession. That's God's own word on the matter. Because you see, the blood of Jesus Christ, it is sufficient to secure your eternal freedom from sin and all of its consequences. So that God can now claim you as His own forever. Boys and girls, that reminds me of the story I read about a little boy that built a toy sailboat. And after it was finished, that boy, he went to a nearby river with his father for the boat's trial run. And his father had carefully tied a string to the back of the boat to keep it from sailing away too far. And so the little boy was all excited, and he took that sailboat and he put it in the river. And he watched his boat as it began to sail away. But all of a sudden the string broke. And the sailboat, it drifted out of sight. And him and his dad, they looked everywhere for that boat. But their attempts to find it were all fruitless. But then a few weeks later, as that young boy was walking home from school, he passed a store and he was amazed to see his sailboat in the window. And so with excitement, he ran inside to claim the boat, telling the owner it was his and he had lost it. But the store owner said to that little lad, he said, "Son, you may have it back for $50. And the poor little lad, he was absolutely stunned at how much it would cost him to regain his boat. You see, since it was so precious to him, he quickly set about earning the money in order that he could buy it back. And later, when he had managed to save up enough money, he walked into the store, grinning from ear to ear, and he handed the owner $50 in exchange for his sailboat. It was the happiest day of his life. And he left the store, gripping that boat tightly, and as he was walking down the street with that boat in his arms, do you know, boys and girls, what he said to it? He said, "I made you, but I lost you. Now I've bought you back. You belong to me now, and I'll never lose you again." And child of God, hear. God made you for himself. And when he lost you in Adam, he loved you so much that he was willing to send his own son to die for you, that he might reclaim you, that he might buy you back again, so that you can belong to him once again, forever. So he now says to you, "You belong to me, and I'll never lose you again. Never." Well, that was what your redemption and mine required. But I want you to see in the second place what this redemption resulted in. For child of God, your relationship with God has been eternally secured because of this redemption. But that is because this redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ, it results in something glorious, something utterly amazing. The forgiveness of your sins. Every last one of them. All of those sins that are perhaps troubling you as you sit there in the pew. Sins perhaps of a past week. Sins of the last year. Or the sins of an entire lifetime, perhaps. Those sins that the devil just loves to dredge up and remind you of. To try to keep you from walking in the freedom you ought to enjoy as a child of God. But God is saying to you, child of God, hear, that all of those sins, they've been put away from you, just as though you'd never even committed them. Is that not truly amazing? Because that's what the word forgiveness is telling you. That because of the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sin, your slate has been wiped, forever clean. The record of your sin, it has been done away with. And that means for you then, that all liability to punishment for every sin, past, present, and future, it has been cancelled. The Greek word here for forgiveness, it basically means to send away, never to return. And that should take your mind and mine back to the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament. Because that's basically what is being pictured for us here in this word.
And you can read about that in Leviticus chapter 16. And you should all remember that on that day, the high priest, he would take two spotless goats. And one of those goats would be killed as a sacrifice, and its blood would be taken and sprinkled on the altar and on the mercy seat of the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. But what happened to the other goat? Well, you should know that the high priest would take that other goat. He placed his hands on its head, and he confessed all of the sins of the people of Israel over it. And why did he do that? Because you see, in that act, he was symbolically transferring all of their sins and all of the guilt of those sins to that goat. But then what happened to the goat? That goat would be taken out and sent away into the wilderness, where it could never ever find its way back again. Because you see, that goat served as the scapegoat which bore the blame of the people. And that act symbolized, therefore, the taking away of sin, the sending away of sin where it could never be seen again. And that's what God wants his people to understand about their sins, that they have been sent away, never to return, never to be marked against them. Because Jesus Christ is the New Testament scapegoat who died to carry away our sins so that they might never be seen again, ever. And child of God, here, you and I have nothing whatever with which to pay the price, to cancel the debt of our sin, to take it away. Because we are all spiritually bankrupt by nature. And yes, we've transgressed the law of God times without number. And we've racked up an insurmountable amount of debt as a result of our sin. But you see, that's the wonder of the gospel. That out of sheer love and grace, God has taken that debt and he has transferred the guilt of it to Jesus Christ, who paid the price to set us free from it forever. To cancel that debt out once and for all, so that it might never come back to haunt us, ever. Because you see, it is through the blood of Jesus Christ that we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. That's why the Lord Jesus cried out on the cross, "It is finished." Because our debt has now been paid in full. And nothing needs to be done on our part then, but to rest in what Jesus Christ has done. And my dear believing friend here, get a hold of that glorious fact. Live in the joy of it. For you see, because of Christ's death, over the record of every sin you have ever committed or ever will commit, is now written in bold letters, paid in full, and thus forgiven and taken away. That's why if you've ever read John Bunyan's classic work, The Pilgrim's Progress, I'm sure many of you have, and if you haven't, I recommend that you do. Well, if you've read that, you'll remember the main character in the book, Christian. What is it he could say when he came to the foot of the cross and his heavy burden that he'd been carrying the burden of his sin. It rolled off his shoulders. What did he say? He could say with joy, he saw it no more, because it was gone forever. And no one would ever be able to charge those sins to his account then. And you see, that's the beautiful truth that lies at the very heart of the Bible's teaching about forgiveness. That God has dealt with the sins of his people once and for all at Calvary. For even though we were without strength in ourselves and utterly unable to do anything to clear the debt of our sin because of our spiritual poverty, yet God in his grace and in his mercy, he sent his own Son in due time to die for the ungodly, so that he might forgive and cancel all the debt of our sin. That's why the psalmist can say so beautifully in Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed the transgressions of his people from them. That's why God, speaking through Isaiah, says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, and will not remember thy sins. For he has cast them all behind his back and into the depths of the sea of his forgetfulness because of the finished work of Christ. Reminds me, boys and girls, of the story of a Scottish doctor. And when the books of that doctor, which kept a record of all of his patients and their bills, when those books were examined after his death, it was found that a number of the accounts, they were crossed through with a note which simply said, forgiven, too poor to pay. But the deceased doctor's wife, when she looked at the accounts, she decided that these accounts must be paid in full, and so she proceeded to sue these patients for the money which she thought was still owed. But when the case came to court, the judge asked her one simple question. He pointed to the words, forgiven, too poor to pay. And he asked her, he said, Madam, is this your husband's handwriting? And when she replied it was, he responded, he said, well, Madam, there is no court in the land that can obtain a debt once the word forgiven has been written over it. And that, my friend, is the good news that this verse is meant to remind us of this afternoon. That God's attitude to our sins is not, I'll forgive them, but I won't forget them. No. It's that they are forgiven and they are put away forever in and through Jesus Christ. Because you see, once the debt of our sin has been cancelled in Jesus Christ, then there is no one who can ever collect on it. No one. Because God wipes it out of his mind forever for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ. And therefore, child of God, hear. That should bring you joy. That should give you assurance that God will never ever bring those sins up to condemn you. Never. And that brings us then in the third place to think about the reason or the basis for this redemption in Jesus Christ. Why is it that God does redeem his people from their sins? Why does he forgive them for all of their sins against him? Well, what does our verse say? It is all according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us. And you and I don't deserve to have the debt of our sins taken away. We deserve the opposite. We deserve to be punished for those sins. But you see, because of the riches of his grace, God chose rather to punish them in the person of Jesus Christ. He chose to make him our substitute so that through his death in our place, the debt of our sin could be finally and forever cancelled. Because that's the very meaning of grace. You may have heard it said before. Grace. G-R-A-C-E. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. And friends, God lavishes upon us grace for unmerited love and favor then because of what Jesus Christ has done. Not because we deserve it. And that's why the child of God marvels at the grace of God. Because they know themselves. They know their own hearts. They know all they've done to merit God's displeasure. And yet all they experience from him is wave upon wave of his grace. And that's what this verse is saying. He makes the riches of his grace abound toward us. Or he lavishes his grace upon us. And my dear friend, what does it mean to lavish something upon someone? It means you heap it on more and more and more. Over and over and over again. And my friend, God doesn't ration out his grace to his people then, a little here and a little there. He lavishes it upon them because he delights to show it to them for Christ's sake. Think of it like the waves of the ocean. They just keep on coming, one after another after another. They never stop. And that's what God's forgiveness and grace is like for those who are redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. It never ceases. For as John reminds us so beautifully, the first chapter of his first epistle says the blood of Jesus Christ, it cleanses us from all sin, or it goes on cleansing us from all sin. Because you see, God's forgiveness, it's not from the riches of his grace, but according to the riches of his grace. And maybe you say, well, what's the difference? Well, think of it like this. If you or I were to go to a multimillionaire, ask him for a contribution to our worthy cause, and he were to give you $100, what has he done? He's given you out of his riches. But if he hands you a blank check and he says to you, fill in what you need, he has given you according to his riches. And my dear friend, the measure of God's forgiveness. It's in proportion to his wealth. And let me ask you something. How wealthy is God? His wealth is infinite. And that's how he gives. And what he wants you and I to know here then is that our redemption, our forgiveness, they are based on nothing whatever in you or in me, but on the boundless, bottomless, shoreless, infinite resources of his own amazing grace in Jesus Christ. And that's what this text is drawing our attention to this afternoon. And don't allow yourself then to be tormented with thoughts. As so many people are. They go through life with a big question mark hanging over their head. Thinking, surely he won't, or surely he can't forgive me because of that sin or this sin. Well, God is telling you that if you will but bring that sin to him, whatever it may be, I don't care what it is, if you will but bring your sin to him and confess it to him through Jesus Christ, he assures you, even though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Because of the riches of his grace. And child of God, here you need never worry that your sins will ever outstrip God's gracious forgiveness then. For my dear friend, God assures you, wherever sin abounds, in Christ grace abounds all the more. Well, friends, that is the glorious doctrine of redemption in and through Jesus Christ. And that redemption is freely available to every sinner who will renounce every other hope and rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ alone. And that includes every one of us here. From the very youngest to the oldest. For it is in Christ alone that we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace wherein God hath abounded toward us. Amen.